I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Hardcore Listing, the podcast.
Welcome to Hardcore Listing Podcast. I am Stewie Griffin, and sitting opposite me today is...
Christopher Glasson.
How you doing?
I'm bloody marvellous, mate. I'm not going to lie. I'm feeling very, very happy. And it's Saturday, it's sunny outside. I'm going to get my walk on, I think.
Oh, that'd be nice. That'd take the edge off of everything, going out for a walk around Basildon. How fucking bleak would that be?
I just think, you know, it's not Grays, is it?
No, it's not. But I did have to go to Basildon this week. I had to take my daughter to the orthodontist. Mm. And it's in Basildon Town Centre, which was... bizarrely empty, but then when you did see someone, it was like they were walkers. It was like, now you just think like...
It's so brutal.
It was so true, though. It just like sort of like come from around the corner, and it's the sort of thing where my daughters are too old to hold their hands now, and it's like I still just kind of wanted to kind of hold their hands and sort of drag them to the other side of the pavement. It was like, I reckon they're walkers, man. They could eat you.
Well, yeah, I'm hyper worried. I had to go into London this week, and I'm so, like, still treat everyone like they've got the virus, and people probably find it quite offensive. So, yeah, I'm treating everyone like the Walking Dead as well at the moment. Anywho.
Well, before we introduce the guest, should we shout out the sponsors, mate?
Yeah, we are going to start with Egg Fried, since we just had a really exciting meeting with those guys yesterday about some collabs we're going to do, that should be hitting the stores soon. Egg Fried is a streetwear label, punk, hip-hop, skate-inspired. They also make homemade denim. You can get a nice fat discount by typing in Egg Salad into their discount code area. And I just think we might have lost our guest there.
Nah, he's back. He's back.
Okay, cool.
Our second sponsor I will shout out is love-beer.co.uk. Mm-hmm. Charles, long-time sponsor of this podcast. Mm-hmm. And thanks to you, lovely lot. Throughout lockdown, he's continued to watch his business grow and, you know, doing a detour from sort of installing bars, really. He's been delivering beer to your doorstep and, you know, or via the postman. So go and check out love-beer.co.uk. And just honestly buy one of the beer packs because they're just tasty. Like, and that sounds like I'm kind of doing the go and buy it, but honestly, there's an episode recently where Charles come on and Chris and I done the top five beers that he's currently flogging, and they are absolutely banging. And you can save money if you go over to that website, because he's given us a discount code for you lot to get cheap booze, which is LBHCLP. And if you put that in, you will save yourself some pound notes. Last podcast sponsor, please, Christopher.
The last one I've been way too nice to recently, Luke Bang Boom. I've been saying that he's just a very beautiful soul who runs a production photography company that works with a lot of charities and a lot of sort of like celebs. But I don't feel like being nice about Luke today. So, yeah, whatever. Luke Bang Boom's our other sponsor. Bit of a knob, really, when you think about it.
I actually I saw Luke this week, socially distanced outside. He was doing a photo shoot that I had to kind of sort of lurk around in, mm. in not lurk around in a kind of Chris Glasson lurk, but more of a kind of legal lurk.
Mm.
And yeah, I mean, as much as he was completely, you know, wonderful, you know, selfless, kind, you know, just I just think he's a bit of a cunt.
Yeah, there's something about him.
Yeah,
so I can't
put
my finger on it, mate.
No, nor can I. Fuck him. Anyway, let's move away from cunts and on to today's guest. Welcome to the podcast, Jamie Finch. Hello.
Hello. All right. What an intro.
There you go.
Let's move from cunts onto this cunt.
To think that we've just called our sponsor back, you must think, oh, where's this going to go?
It's about consistency, mate.
Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me. How you doing? You all right? You good? You both look fresh as, man. This is like 9 a.m. on a lockdown Saturday. You look good.
Thanks, mate. Stu normally goes for a runabout now, don't you?
Yeah.
So,
well, not about now. You said that like as soon as the guest is introduced, I'll fuck off.
let the pros handle it. And I feel great, man. Which is a change, because this time last week I woke up. I literally just slept funny. This is boring. Sorry, folks. I slept funny and I woke up and I literally crippled myself all weekend. I had a bad back. I had a massive mouth ulcer. That was my weekend fucking done as soon as I woke up Saturday morning. So today I'm alive and kicking and looking forward to it. Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, Jamie, we've been chatting over Instagram. You are a fellow podcaster.
Yeah.
We'll talk about your podcast, I'm sure, as this one unfolds. Before we do anything else, what's your top five going to be today, Jamie?
My top five is top five things men should talk about more.
Okay.
Incredible. Absolutely. I love that. And your podcast is really cool. Can I say the name of it? Do you mind?
Please do. Please do.
It'd be really Let's Talk About Sex, Jamie. Let's Talk About You and Me. It's really cool. You've even had other guests on that we've had on.
I definitely stole a few from you. Yeah.
Oh, mate. Do it. Yeah. So you've had B on, I believe, B Ducks, talking about nipples.
Yeah, among other things,
How was that? She's lovely, isn't she?
Good. Yeah, B's great. She's like a grenade of energy. It's amazing. We did a bunch of recordings. It was kind of weird. So I tend to like get people in to talk about one or two things, and then we end up talking about 7, 8, or 9, and that was exactly what happened with B. We covered a bunch of stuff, and she's great.
Wonderful. Wise beyond her years, I feel, with B. Also a bit of a know-it-all. No one likes a know-it-all.
You're throwing around some venom today, Gresham.
I'm so happy.
Is this what happens? One day you'll name drop me and just be like, he's a cunt. In a few months, like, yeah, we had him on. He's a total
Well, let's just steam straight in. What's your number five?
Right, so I haven't put these in any order. Is that all right?
That's right.
I know
absolutely.
That's a bit taboo, but... speaking of taboo then. So number five is butt stuff.
Incredible.
Yeah. Now, a lot of these, I'm going to say them and then just judge your reactions, because I've definitely picked some more controversial stuff to see what you guys think about it.
Mm.
Okay.
Testiness.
Butt stuff. So I talk to a lot of guys through the podcast and obviously in real life. Back when we were allowed to interact with other humans, you know, but when it wasn't on the internet. And the general kind of vibe around butt stuff and butt stuff happening to guys is a bit like in the laddie side of the spectrum. It's a bit like, oh, it's gay. I'm not gay. I don't want anything to happen to my ass.
Yeah.
And I did again, before lockdown, when we were actually able to have people in the same room, I did a live podcast where I had a guy come on and we talked about that. And he was saying he'd never tried anything. He'd never like had anything go near there. Mm-hmm. And there was, it was a room full of girls, as any sex podcast live show is. It's mostly women that listen to it. Unfortunately, I think we should get more men, you know, talking about this stuff. That's why I'm here. But and it was basically a room of women just being like, try it. Like, what have you got to lose, you know? And he definitely told me afterwards that he kind of felt a bit kind of transformed by it, you know. It sort of removed the stigma, maybe because he was talking to a group of women about it, which always helps, of away from the lad culture stuff. But
a group of women who probably throughout the 90s and early 2000s were pressured into men lurking around their arseholes, basically.
Exactly. exactly. So I think it's time to turn a bit of the pressure around. What do you guys think?
Well, I personally feel gay wiping my ass, mate. I think it's disgusting. do you know what, right, James? So this is such a... when you messaged us and that, I thought it was... your podcast is brilliant. You're also a musician, I may add. And you sort of the idea of butt stuff, it sprung to mind because a little while ago on Patreon, we released an episode. It was around Christmas, Stu, wasn't it? Was it Christmas this year or Christmas the year before?
Year before. Last year don't count, does it?
No. Oh, my God. We did a little episode on there called Greenfinger.
Right.
Which was all about the fact that my girlfriend Molly had bought for us for Christmas a little like fun present. Was called a board game called Monogamy. Have a love affair with your partner. So this was my girlfriend saying, look, sex is dead. Can you do something interesting with me now? And also, I know you like Warhammer. So like, she's trying to merge those two realms. And it was really good fun. But one of the things was, I can't remember what we... I play a game. It was the yes or no game where I'm not allowed to say yes or no, that one. But she does it with her finger inside me. And and even telling that story, like I was a bit like, oh, like the, I, you know, we're quite open books on this podcast. But even then I was a bit like, oh, this is quite this is quite an intimate thing to talk about. And I'm not saying that it's right or wrong. I'm not saying that you should feel forced to discuss anything in your private life. But at the same time, me being quite an open book, it was felt quite weird to be quite that open.
Yeah.
And it really does, like, I do think this whole thing about butt stuff and not what you said, like, you know, reducing it down to, you know, a common sort of thing is, well, that's potentially gay or anything like that. It really does come from a place, I can only speak from my experience, but growing up in the 80s and 90s and, you know, I've kind of felt sorry for the gay lads at school and that, like, retrospectively.
Yeah.
Because they weren't treated particularly very kindly. And the word gay was even used by myself in a, oh, no, that's gay.
Yeah.
But just saying something was rubbish.
Yeah.
And I'm not proud of that, but I'm not going to lie about it either, Jamie. I'm not going to lie about, because I think so many people want to pretend that they were on the right side of the fence all the time.
Yeah. I've been woke since I was 10. Like...
exactly. It's bullshit, man.
Yeah.
And I think this whole thing is all tied into stigmas, homosexuality, when I was younger. So I do think it's a taboo subject. So that's where I stand on it. Stu?
Definitely, yeah.
I have absolutely no issue with it. I don't see it as being gay. You've got a body. What you do with your body is completely, you know, down to you. And if something is pleasurable, then and it's not upsetting anyone or, you know, making anyone uncomfortable in any way, shape or form, I see no problem with anything. I really don't. I think, you know, I certainly don't see it as gay. You know, I think that's a kind of belief that was probably thrown around the time that you just mentioned there, Chris, when people weren't quite as woke. And I agree with you, Chris, as well, that, you know, we both went to, you know, pretty... No, you didn't actually. I went to a rough school where, you know, in a pretty poor area, and yeah, you know, it was there was bullying, and there was definitely, you know, lads in my year that, you know, have since come out and are very happy, but you know, they were given a lot of shit. I was never a bully, but I would definitely have probably used terms like gay and things like that in, you know, out of context. But you know, that was me when I was, you know, 12, 13 years old, and then obviously you wake up and you know, it's never malicious, but it was just kind of just a flippant kind of thing, which doesn't make it any better. But yeah, like I certainly don't have any kind of connection between guys exploring anything, any part of their body with whatever partner it is, to being something that's come from the gay community at all.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. But we can all sort of, I think we all went to kind of similar schools. We're all from the South, right? So we all know that like gay was used as a, like you were saying, Chris, ladies, you know, it's just a negative word. So that's kind of been programmed into us. And it takes a lot of like, I think active work to get that out of your system.
Yeah, completely.
Because even in my like early 20s, I'm a big sort of, I'm from a working class background and that's really important to me. And I sort of, because I live in central London now, I mingle with people from other, you know, parts of the spectrum. And I definitely in my early 20s would defend, not like that I wanted to say gay, but I would defend where like, oh, that's gay came from. Like, no, it's, you know, it's from, you know, we would say it in our less educated areas, we would say it as a negative thing. And I would sort of try and defend it. But then I kind of realized, you know, as I got a bit older, that like, no, it never was malicious. You know, we all said it when we were kids and we never meant it as in like, oh, that's homosexual and that means it's bad. But just the people, the system that programmed it into us, it comes from a place of homophobia. Whether we mean it to or not, so we have to like actively work on getting it out of our vocabulary.
I think you articulated that really well, actually, Jamie.
And it's you know, you've only got to go back sort of 6-7 years, and some of the biggest comedy shows on the television were using that word a lot.
Yeah,
you know, in the kind of context of what we, you know, said we was using it at school when we were younger.
It's definitely like, that definitely there's. That application goes wider in terms of words as well, because like I'd like to say I'm liberal. I think I'm more centered now as a human being as I've got older. I'm not saying I'm a crazy conservative or you know, on the other side of scales like a socialist, but at the same time, I do feel like it's important to reflect and grow not only on what you were taught as a kid and be okay with going, that might not have been the right choice of words. Like, you know, I'm not going to blame myself for it because I wasn't really given the opportunity to... I wasn't shown that might not be really particularly the right thing because of the Petri dish that you grow up in. But there's other words. Like, another one that I've, over the last... I think I've got it nailed now. Like, I'm really happy with it. I've changed one word for another. But again, pussy was a word that I kind of was always like, oh, don't be pussy. And there was never any malice towards women with that. It was not... I never thought of a female when I said, don't be a pussy. That's the mad thing. There was no connection to that term. But that doesn't mean to say that there's not really like some sort of... Again, I'd always use pussy in the only in the terms of being weak. And to me, I have kind of... And I'm not saying everyone needs to do this. Like, I think you maybe police your own words a little bit more than telling everyone else their application words. But for me, I felt that I'd made that as a connection, and to unstitch that, I just found wimp. Wimp is the same word as pussy. So whenever you hear me go, like, I'll just say automatically say wimp now. But for a while, I literally have to pause, change the word, and then spit out wimp. But I've had other friends who say that, you know, in that term, well, there's loads of ways that you can use the word, don't be a dick derogatory. So again, that becomes quite a nuanced sort of conversation. Anyway, we were talking about putting things inside our arsehole.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
No, this is more interesting than what I was going to talk about. I like this. Yeah, it's interesting you say about policing your own words rather than worrying about policing others, because that's definitely a thing, especially with the kind of pronoun, you know, changing climate that's happening now, which is awesome. It's a big thing to kind of quickly correct someone when they use the wrong pronouns, which I totally get. And I think it's good because, you know, we're trying to drill this into more people. But it is a sticking point, especially on someone that, like, younger me would have sort of taken that as like an attack. I think if you call someone the wrong pronoun and someone points you out and corrects you in front of people, in one way, that's the right thing to do because, yeah, these pronouns are important and we need to get them right. The other hand, that kind of attack will fall badly on some people, especially people, I think you guys would agree, that like that we might know from where we're from, that aren't sort of as open to this kind of change, you know. So it's hard because, you know, you do have to attack these things and make them change, but then also the person needs to be willing, you know, to
It's also the intent of the correction as well. There's a lot of people I've known throughout my life who have used, I'm going to use religion as an example, to come across pious and control and worthy, but holier than thou. And really, the intent under it was because they wanted you, they were unhappy with something and they wanted you to just conform. And that was a way of putting you down. And I think, like, if you're going to ever step into these films, and again, it's like when people sort of like might be being racist to one extent, or daft racism, or it's really come from a point of slight ignorance or whatever. How you approach having a chat with that person, I think, is so important, because you don't.
Yeah.
I don't want to be one of these woke geezers who sort of like is around correcting the world for things that, from my perspective. So if I think that I might be able to assist someone, I'll do it, but I'll try not to do it in a way that I'm slapping them around the face. One of Molly's friends did it to me. So Molly's my girlfriend, and one of her, I said to her, I can't even remember what I'd said, and the word I'd used, and one of Molly's friends corrected me, but she did it in such a wonderfully non-accusatory, lectury, trying to take a stance, trying to embarrass me way, and it was funny because actually it's really annoying me now because I can't remember what it was. It wasn't like an incendiary, like one of the obvious ones that people.
This is where we find out you scream the N-word, and
I was screaming the N-word while shooing some poor gay black guy.
You was hammering a flaming crucifix into her front lawn.
She was so nice about it. She took me, you know, took me to the side and said, "Maybe not, Chris."
She doused out the flames on her back. I literally can't remember what the word was now.
It does depend.
Like pussy, fag, the N bomb. It weren't any of these. It was something else. It was very small. But the way she said, I've stopped using that word because of such and such. And she didn't say don't say it. She just let me think about it.
Yeah.
And I thought,
thought, that nanosecond pause for thought you'll have next time you say that word is enough for the change to start happening. That's definitely what happened with me and Gay. I moved in with three guys, and we sort of caught each other saying it, and then we'd point it out, and then like really friendly and like in a sort of piss take kind of way, like, oh, shouldn't say that. And then it gives you a nanosecond of thought, and then that just grows, and eventually it's gone from your vocabulary.
Definitely. Jamie, number four.
All right. God, that went deep, didn't it? Not in the way I thought.
Quite literally.
Yeah. All right, number four, sex toys for men. So this, I've had some really interesting conversations about this recently. I've had a few kind of sex toy manufacturers on my podcast. And what I want to know from you guys is, what is like the first thing that comes to mind when you think of a sex toy for men?
Just a blow up sheep.
Do you know what?
Not what you want, but one that actually exists.
Oh, sorry about that. I hate to say that I know that they do exist.
Oh, they do exist. I had one. Yeah. I got one for my 21st birthday.
I guess at least it's a blow up sheep, not a real sheep, I guess.
Yeah,
absolutely.
They're way too expensive. You can't
To me, off the top of my head, I'd go straight away fleshlight, cock ring.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I'd go, genuinely, would probably now say butt plug.
Yeah. Yeah. The same. That's how I was thinking. And they're in the sex toy manufacturing industry, or at least the guys I've spoken to that are working there, they are seen as quite archaic things now. Butt plug, maybe less so, because I guess it's, you know, it's filling a niche.
It's filling your niche.
Yeah. but yeah, like cock ring is something that comes up a lot because you see it on like the shelves in, you know, Ann Summers and whatever. And fleshlight is seen because, I don't know, it's in like American Pie and films like that, you know. It's this like sort of massive rubber thing that you fuck. Mm. But I've been talking to this company called SenseMax and a company called Handy, who are making really cool male sex toys. So SenseMax have got this, like, it basically is a fleshlight, but it looks like a Bluetooth speaker. It's the coolest thing you've ever seen. Like, you could totally have it on your like your table.
Shu loves no music, really, so his ears picked right up.
It looks a bit like the mic you're talking into there, Stu, actually.
Never you mind what that is.
And it looks really cool and stylish, and like the whole thing, it's all like, you know, fancy, and, you know, I'm not going to go into it because I don't know enough about it, but like, you know, it syncs up to porn videos, so it like matches the movements and stuff. Yeah. They can, you can program like pre-programmed, like, I don't know, what would you call it? Rhythms? I don't know. Sessions?
Yeah.
And from an app, you can like play it. So you can get like your favorite porn star will program like how she would give you a blowjob, whatever, into this
that
app, and then you
insane.
Can have it. Yeah. And with the Handy, it's a similar thing. It's like a Bluetooth speaker that you put next to your dick and it gives you a hand job. Basically, it's got this like sleeve that goes up and up, and that does similar things. They can be controlled remotely. And what they do is through their website, this sounds really funny, through their website, they get like performers, sex workers on to like control one. So they'll
That's
have one
brilliant.
On their side, and you can connect to the room and have it work on you. So, and they said that last week they did one with 72 people connected. So this person was given a hand job to 72 people.
That's the fucking, we're staring into the future here.
Yeah, right.
Guys.
It's quite strange because I've been doing some work recently, and there's for this like radio station that have just launched this new podcast based around dating. And one of the things that I've done is reached out to find like kind of big brands to associate with it, because it's kind of presented by like a couple of celebrities, and so I thought instantly, well, let's go to sex toy manufacturers.
Yeah.
And so I've been having conversations with the three market leaders, and part of that, and I would say that it was eye-opening, because I was maybe a bit prehistoric in what I kind of thought was available on the market, and so what I had to do was frequent these websites and look around their stores to kind of, you know, just kind of get an understanding of the people that I was talking to and what their products were. And again, yeah, so many kind of male masturbating toys.
Yeah.
I was like, wow. Like, you know, I just thought things have moved on from, you know, a fleshlight.
Oh, let's be honest, though. Have you ever tried a cock ring? I bought one for a mate's wedding present. Not that we used it. And then a few, about a year later, I was like, I'll get one.
Give him a used cock ring? That's what that sounded like. Just that you tried it out first and then gave it to him for his wedding present.
A little bit. But I boiled it. I boiled it first. And once I digged it out.
Not while it was on. You took it off and boiled it, right?
Yeah. Ran it under the tap.
Right. I just thought they were a waste of time. But I think this whole thing, I don't know where the rest of your five goes, Jamie, but like this goes into another, for me, another realm that I've not really spoke about. I've spoke about, I'm a big fan of wanking. I don't think there's anyone who doesn't know that. 40,000 wanks. Should have that as one of the badges we were thinking of in motion. And
have you actually
stick it on your CV?
I've got a tally. Yeah,
nice.
I've got a tally.
We done the math, didn't we, on an episode and broke
it
down.
We were drunk, nice. And we've had people come up to us, you know, when we had the club night, come up to us going, we've all been talking. There's no way you've had 40,000 wanks. And it's like, thanks for coming. Enjoy your evening. But you've paid that, you know, you've come to just have a go at my maths skills with wanking. But I think, I don't know. I came across sex computer games, right?
Right.
And one of the best wanks I've ever had was playing a sex computer game.
All right.
And it was almost terrifying because I just thought, it was so good a wank.
What was the game?
I honestly can't remember. I just found it. I think I come across it off some like porn channel. And I just couldn't believe that that it could be like I could get so lost in something that was actually a game and sex actual. Involved with it.
Yeah.
And then I think when you're talking about these hand job machines that you know. And then you look into the realm of sex robots, and I generally wonder, like, firstly, whatever floats your boat, absolutely go for it. But like, absolutely any form of technology, like we're struggling with phones now and social media, like that is a real fucking problem for us at the moment, like, because we have not got a handle on how our relationship is supposed to be with it. This new sex technology. We've got to figure out what our relationship is to that, because it is going to have an effect on normal relationships. It could be a wonderful sex aid. It could be a really positive thing for some people. But for a lot of people, if we don't figure this out and try and get a discussion on that going, I think, you know, things like, you know, once the sex robot industry really comes out and stuff like that, I don't know what it's going to do. It could be wonderful. It could be a brilliant thing. It'd be absolutely wonderful. But it could be wildly abused. It could separate men and women in so many ways.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just thoughts.
I agree. It's as exciting as it is terrifying, especially when you talk about sex robots. Anything AI related, to be honest, is exciting and terrifying, because I think it's the end of us. But we all want it. I got invited to a sort of an unveiling of a sex robot last year, and I was like, oh my god, this is it. This is the fucking future. You've seen Humans, right? That TV show where they have sex robot brothels. I was like, this is it. And no need to worry. Still fucking terrifying. Like still nothing you want to go anywhere near. It has the whole, what's that thing? The way you look at something that isn't quite human, it makes you feel sick. It still has that. So we're a way off yet. But yeah, I know what you mean. It's something that we're going to definitely have to tackle eventually. And yeah, on one hand, it sounds great because, you know, sex robot brothels could help a lot of people. That could
absolutely be... absolutely intimacy is such an important thing, and I think if you have a real blocker with it, it has some very mad effects on your psychology.
I've
seen it firsthand. People who have got psychosexual issues that are stemmed from these things, like these words we were talking about earlier, and how they have affected them. And how other words have affected their ability to be able to have sex, and not being having that intimacy has driven very strange behaviours out of that person, where, you know, unkind behaviours. They do odd things, and it sounds so silly and sounds so reductive, but you know they've not got any intimacy and having sex. And I think it's really important. Jesus Christ, if I don't have sex after a certain amount of time, I can't think straight, really.
Right. Yeah.
As you get older, it becomes less. And that's going to be something I want to throw in there at some point as well, is age with sex.
Yeah. Well, on the intimacy thing, you're seeing a lot of this in Japan. Tokyo mainly is, there's a big problem with, couples getting together, and there's a lot of like research that's been put into it. I won't talk about it too much because I'm not one of the smart people that should be, but a big problem they have is they have these games, I've seen them on the Nintendo DS, but that's probably because it was an outdated documentary. It's probably like much better games now with virtual girlfriends. And virtual girlfriends in Japan is a big thing because a lot of guys say that they would rather not go out and get rejected by women at bars, and they'd rather stay in with this virtual girlfriend that they have.
Yeah,
and it's a big problem for them, because birth rates are down massively.
Yeah, they are, like, but through the floor. Reggie Yates has done a wonderful one on China, and then Louis Theroux did one on Japan, and right. And that was the one that I thought was just mad. And the virtual girlfriend's going in, paying to just go and sit in a room and lie down with a girl, and she'll stare into your eyes. That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
She'll just stare into your eyes and act like a boyfriend. But then once she's done that, you're like, thanks very much, I can get back to my life now without yeah. without a pun. And then you have these sort of like guys are paid to be, I can't remember what they're called now, they're called something like entertainers,
yeah,
and,
yeah,
and girls, like dozens of beautiful Japanese girls will go to these bars, Stu, where there's an entertainer there, or there's five entertainers, and it's like a reverse kind of strip club without the nudity, where five or six girls will sit with one dude and just drink and do a bit of karaoke because the girls are screaming out for attention and they're literally not getting it from the guys. Like, there is some real wild cultural changes happening out there. And again, Jamie, I wonder if it is this whole sort of like Japan. I didn't realise Japan is like way past, I think, America in terms of a free market economy. Like, whatever you fucking want, you can get in Japan.
Yeah.
And so this whole idea that the customer is king and you have your own sovereignty. I can do whatever I want in Japan. And then how does that affect the fact that do I want any relationships? Because actually I can just, if I want some time with a girl, I'll go and lie down with them.
Mm.
I think it's strange how these modern technology and how kind of capitalism, consumer culture, and treating the customer king is affecting our whole mindset on what we were evolved to be, which to this point has been like is more of a unit and a tribe, you know, and it's causing depression and all sorts of shit. So yeah, it's fucking mad.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mad to see it.
Number three. Right. Okay. We can go deep on this one, I reckon. Non-monogamy. So it's obviously exploding in popularity. The idea of, you know, polyamorous relationships, open relationships, you know, stuff like that, is super popular. And it's no real surprise that, you know, more and more people are sort of looking into it, at least. But from the kind of things that I think men should talk about angle, I've had a few open relationships. I've had a polyamorous relationship as well. Whenever I tell my guy friends about it, a lot of them are kind of, they express like, oh, that sounds, you know, that sounds great. The setup sounds great. You can, you know, you can have a girlfriend and you can fuck other people and that's great. And obviously I think, again, it goes back to the lad culture of like, yeah, cool, you're slamming all these birds every weekend, like that kind of thing. Yeah, exactly. And they talk about wanting to try it. And then the second they actively, and I'll be like, yeah, cool, let me like talk to you about it, because it's something that I think everyone should at least think about trying, because it's not for everyone. And if you're into monogamy, that's great and, you know, awesome. I'm actually a bit jealous that you can do that, and I think that's really cool. But as soon as we sort of start actually talking about it and trying to think about, you know, how the setup might work, the second they get to the idea of another guy, this is my, you know, heterosexual friends, another guy getting with their girlfriend, they like shut down, like, oh no, the idea's gone, like completely
forced. The mechanics of it,
yeah,
like,
the actual
fall
logistics
apart really quickly.
Which is totally fine, and that's okay. I think if you explore this idea and you come to the point of, oh, you know, it would be nice for me to sleep with other women, but I don't want my girlfriend to sleep with other guys, that's where it ends. That's cool. That's an okay conclusion. You know that it's not for you, and that's great. But yeah, I know a lot of guys that have tried this kind of setup and they suffer from jealousy. And jealousy is what I really want to talk about here, I think. You know, with the non-monogamy stuff. And you'll see, Louis Theroux, I'm a massive fan of Louis Theroux. I think he's great. His documentary on polyamory.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it was the one Louis Theroux documentary that I didn't fully get in with because it felt like he kind of had a bit of an agenda because he kept asking these people, are you really happy in this situation? Yeah. And it's like, and actually, I think it turns out they weren't really. That's kind of the guy he was talking to at the end sort of, you know, opened up and said maybe he's not. But a lot of the time he was kind of like pushing this, like, are you actually happy? And I feel like the BBC in general have... any documentaries that are about open relationships and polyamory and stuff, they definitely have a bit of an agenda to push of like, you know, look at these freaks and they're pretending that they're happy doing this when they're not actually. And that's totally true for a lot of these relationships, probably most, to be honest, because I think it's quite a new thing for humans to be going through. We're going to get it wrong a lot of the time. I definitely have. Yeah. I don't think I've got it right once yet. Yeah. So I think that's something that I would love more guys to think about is, one, don't cheat, because you're a wanker if you cheat. If you're in a monogamous relationship and you're promised to someone and you cheat, you're an arsehole.
Yeah.
And two, think about open relationships, because if you are cheating, maybe there's something else out there that could fit your, you know, what you want.
Jamie, I don't know if you've been looking at pictures of, like, Stu's wife is beautiful, my girlfriend's beautiful. Are you just trying to give up our birds to you? Is that basically what this is all about?
Because That's another thing. The open people that are into open relationships and polyamory and stuff, it doesn't mean we want to fuck everyone. Which is
it's that thing of looping, having a lack of knowledge on a subject, and it's okay to be ignorant, and then bundling different groups of people together in the most disastrous of ways. Sometimes, like we know a person's dad who once said to his son, "Oh, he's gay. Don't worry, he's not a nonce." Like.
Right.
What? Oh, like they're so widely different, but it goes to show the level of how dangerous it can be to sort of like mix up those things. I think it's a fascinating subject, mate. I think that you know, like you say, the documentaries that it appears that we've watched same thing, similar sort of interest looking into these things and relationships with human beings. We recently watched one about Amish communities. In America, where a guy's got like two or three wives,
yeah,
and the whole courting process is really interesting, and there's a lot of I wouldn't say brainwashing, but they have a strong belief system that then can make this all so complicated. But you said you might not got one right yet, but who gets monogamous relationships right for starters? Yeah. Yeah. And this thing on trust and jealousy and security, it's a really interesting one. The first time I think I got challenged on this was being like, I 24, and like saying to my girlfriend at the time, fancy a friend, so-and-so. And she was like, yeah, okay. And then she was like, can we have a threesome with a guy after? And I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And it was such a weird thing to think like that. Because also I think probably it's some degree of my exposure to pornography or what my preferences were. The idea of even seeing another guy naked with an erection isn't really something that I'm too excited about. And even now, I'm not that really comfortable. I've been to sex clubs and stuff like that and I've had a fucking epic time, but it's still something even now I'm kind of like, it just doesn't float my boat. I'm not offended by the presence of another male in that thing, but it isn't kind of sexy for me. But I think I'm going to...
Do you want
to...
me to stop sending you pictures?
I'd really appreciate it.
Could you just please put some clothes on now, Stu?
Sorry, guys.
It's really distracting.
I've misjudged this.
But the idea of jealousy and security is such an interesting thing, because I think people like to look at the best parts of that idea first.
Definitely.
But there are really important benefits, I think, to and negative side effects from monogamy. But you have to tread really carefully if you want to think about going down a different route.
Yeah. I years ago, I think maybe sort of probably like 19, 20 years ago. I worked with some people that lived on a, were sort of, I guess you'd call them New Age travellers, and lived in a kind of commune in a forest. And you know, they were pretty, you know, liberal, you know, probably the most liberal people that I was surrounded by at that point. And I remember just sort of having a drink with them one night when the club shut, and saying that they were in like an open relationship. And I was like, oh, right. And I was like, oh, and I'd never met anyone that was at that point. And because it certainly wasn't being spoke about as it is maybe over the last 10 years or so, you know. And I was like, oh, wow, so what? Like, you both have sex with other people? And what started off as something quite liberal then changed, is what I thought. I thought, well, hang on a minute, this is quite self-serving. And he was like, yeah, I mean, I just have sex with other women, and she can have sex with other women when I'm there.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I was just like, can she have sex with other men? He was like, oh, no. Mm. And like,
what did she think? Was she telling you this as well? Or was it just from him?
She tried to say it, but he gave her a dig at that point. And I saw that become more of an issue as I got to know them longer. They're still together, and you know, but was being sold to me was this like really kind of hippie approach to, you know, well, let's just free love, but it was completely controlling, and I thought that was quite grotty.
Yeah.
And I just thought, well, hang on a minute, like that's about you, not both of you.
That's the perfect example, I think, right there of this whole conversation, because there are a lot of people that want to try it, and everyone's rules are different. You know, there are some people that might think, you know, if I have sex with loads of guys, that's just sex. But if I have sex with this one woman, that's love. And that's the setup they want. You know, and the setup that you mentioned could be that everyone's happy and maybe she only wants
absolutely
to be one guy and wants to be one. That's cool. Yeah. But yeah, it sounds like maybe that wasn't the case.
I think that comes from communication as well, an honest communication. And I just think that has to be the foundation. Whatever relationship you're in, that is the foundation for everything. It's the foundation for good sex, regardless of whether you're monogamous or not. Because everything stems from that. The wildest sex comes from them knowing you in and out and you being confident to say, oh, I quite like this, you know, and them not to phone the police on you straight away. But it's like...
That took time for that to stop, though, didn't it?
Yeah. Molly's just... Well, the police don't even pick up now. they just ignore Molly's number. But I think the whole idea of, like, if your partner is, like, into what you're into, it doesn't matter what that setup is, whether or not it's, like, sex with all genders or it's specifically you both only have sex with one gender. As long as you're both truly happy about it, that's the thing.
Yeah.
And I think just it often can be rarely misconstrued. And the other thing, which comes back to Shu, your comment about, you know, are you just in it for you? I think sex, you have to be selfish to an extent. I think it's a really important part of sex is to know what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to communicate that, to get that. But I think there's the other part of sex is especially with a relationship, is I want my partner to be really happy. And actually that is, like, in many ways now I've learned that gets me off, you know. I mean, it has done my whole life. I kind of say it as if it's a new thing
for
me.
Yeah.
But I guess even more so now than ever. And so when we talk about trust and jealousy, I would have had much more of an issue. I'm just talking about the thought of my girl that I love dearly being with another guy. If when we first started dating, the thought of that, and when I was younger, the thought of that would be like, oh no, because of just traditional archetypes in how I grew up. And now I'm like, well, I love her a lot. If she would really enjoy that, and I don't feel like it threatens our relationship because it's on solid ground because of communication,
mm-hmm.
and we genuinely do love each other, then I don't feel that threat. And that's just the theory. Like in practice, who knows? That could be catastrophic.
But even the thought alone, like, that's powerful, man. That's good. Mm. That's strong. Like, you're even sort of entertaining the idea. It shows that you're, you know, secure in your relationship.
Yeah, I think so. But, I mean, Molly's left me for my best mate now anyway, because we tried it.
Sorry about that, dude.
You set him up, yeah.
He's got a lovely dick, Molly. You should see.
Yeah, I think the
number
the one thing I kind of want to, sorry, quickly, the one thing I want to go just finish on there is that it's not one size fits all 100%. Like, everyone's rules are different, and you know, someone's setup might be completely different, but if they're happy in it, then fuck yeah. I just want people to be aware that there are alternatives to monogamy, but monogamy is a choice with those alternatives. You know what I mean? Like, they're all cool. Just talk about it and find something that works for you.
Absolutely.
That's what I think more guys should talk about. Because yeah, guys are, you know, prolific cheaters, you know, according to studies. So
absolutely we are. And there's so much on that, and there's so much to say behind all of that, and not talking about the rights and wrongs of it, and then looking at it through different moral lenses, through different societies. It's a fucking infinitely complicated subject. But if you peel it back to a lot of it, is men are going to want to have a lot of sex, and how that doesn't mean they should have a lot of sex under no terms. There should always be, it should always be consensual and open. And trusting between those two, whatever that situation is. But how you manage that is the most important thing. And that isn't to say that women aren't going to want a lot of sex too as well, you know. Like, from my experience of females, my girlmates, my female partners, they're as horny as men. They just happen to cheat a lot less. Not saying that I don't know plenty of girls who cheated as well.
Yeah, I mean, depends who you know. But yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Number two?
Yeah. So on the men want a lot of sex thing, this is my kind of big thing that I talk about at every opportunity. So I obviously have a podcast about sex. And when it was going out, I had no intention on talking about this at all. But I was like, it was like weeks away from going out. And I was like, I feel like a bit of a fraud if I don't mention my experience with this. And this is sex addiction. So I was diagnosed as a sex addict 3 years ago, I think, ish. And I've come a long way since then. But my big thing is that I really want to talk about it more because, especially guys, because if you think about sex addiction, right, I think the people that come to mind are either Russell Brand, Michael Douglas, if you're, you know, of the older generation, someone that you've heard of, your mate, got cheated on by someone who claimed they were a sex addict. I don't know what Michael Douglas has done about it. I don't really look into him too much, but I know Russell Brand obviously spoke about it a lot, and it was part of his stand-up routine back when, you know, he was in the midst of it. And I love Russell Brand. I think he's great, especially the stuff he's doing now. He's amazing. But he definitely made it a bit of a punchline back then, which is cool because it's fine. Like, it was part of his shtick, right? As well as the drug stuff. Yeah. So I just think that nowadays when people are suffering from this, we need to kind of make it less of a punchline and less of an excuse from people that cheat, from guys that cheat. When I started talking about me having it, when I was diagnosed with it and I was going through 2 years of therapy just about that, and I was started opening up and talking to my friends about it, they would all, you know, most of the time be like, oh yeah, I know a guy who said he had that. And it was always from someone who cheated. And it's like, well, fair enough. And now I've gone through it, I feel like I need to kind of, if somebody says, oh, I'm a sex addict, I feel like I need to support them and be like, okay, cool. Well then, you know, let me help you. Let me talk about what I went through to you know, get me through it. But when you hear about, you know, guys saying it because they cheated, it's kind of like, how serious about this are you? You know what I mean? I take it very seriously. If someone just sort of flippantly says, oh, I'm on dating apps. Yeah, I love sex. I've got a high sex drive. I must be an addict. I think when you've gone through it, like if you heard your mate say like, oh, I do loads of drugs, I must be an addict. Or I got drunk 4 days in a row, I must be, you know, addicted to alcohol. You would take it really fucking seriously.
Really. As opposed to, oh, lucky you, you're a sex addict. It's almost like that, isn't it? Oh, no, you can't get enough sex. And yeah, if you witness, I know one person who's definitely a sex addict.
Yeah.
And it was disastrous for them. It was not. This ruined their lives.
Oh yeah, yeah.
This isn't something that's like, oh, that's good, because they couldn't help but womanize. They were like, and it really challenged our friendship. It destroyed it for a long time. Until I really kind of really understood what was going on here, and it wasn't just someone who's just a womanizer. There was something deeper going on with his psychological makeup that was making him do it.
Yeah, and that's exactly what addiction is, right?
Yeah,
you know, there's liking something loads, there's having a high sex drive, there's loving a drink, but then when you're doing it and you're damaging people around you and yourself, that's when it's a problem.
Mm.
Yeah.
He lost his career, literally lost his career over it, crossed some fucking lines that just most people, not most, like just the usual sort of like textbook cheater wouldn't cross, even they wouldn't cross.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's it is a thing that people, you know, should treat seriously and not do that stigma. But that is about treating it seriously, is like, let's not just slap, it's just not a label to slap anyone with.
Yeah.
Either, and people to use it as an excuse for, you know,
definitely. We've got
just appalling behaviour as well.
Yeah.
You can just be a shithead.
Yeah.
And just be cheating or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think we've just gotten there, you know, in the last maybe 10, 15 years with alcoholic. I remember being a kid and, like, you know, hearing my parents call their mates alcoholic or call themselves alcoholic, and it was sort of a funny thing. Like, oh, I'm an alcoholic, you know, I'm getting pissed on a Tuesday afternoon. Like, but nowadays you wouldn't use that as a joke, really. Like, not properly, do you know what I mean? Yeah. If you said someone was alcoholic or, you know, they had problems with drugs, yeah, like you say, you take it really fucking seriously. And I just want to, yeah, I want to have the same for sex addiction, especially when it comes to, in my experience of, you know, anecdotally, guys using it as an excuse for cheating, because it's like, well, fair enough, sex addiction can lead to you cheating, that is a thing, but are you seeking help, or are you just sort of using it to, you know, get out of trouble?
Oh, I just can't help it.
We've had a couple of people that have suffered with sex addiction on the podcast.
Oh, of course, yeah.
And obviously Ricky spoke about it on the podcast, and I don't know if it makes it, you know, if you are a male model, I'm sure you're not going to struggle to find, you know, women that are going to be interested
sliding
in you physically.
Sliding into your DMs, yeah.
Yeah, and the other person was a woman, and who you know, famously was, you know, there's a big, I read a big article when I was doing research when she first came on the podcast to say that she'd go to a meeting about sex addiction. And then basically the minute the meeting finished, they'd all just then just go fuck each other.
Yeah.
And because you're putting lots of like-minded people in a room together and discussing it. And
that was my reason for never going to group therapy, actually. Yeah. Cause they have a lot of that. There's a group therapy thing in London for sex addictions. And I thought that exact same thing. I was like, if I go there and there's someone fit, I know they like sex as much as I do. That feels horrible. Just, I don't want to go into that situation.
You're pretty much closing the deal on yourself. You're not giving yourself, really, are you? You're giving yourself much of a chance to escape that, you know?
Well, it's like going to an AA meeting in a pub, isn't it? No, it is, though. Do you know what I mean?
That is a perfect analogy. Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
It really is.
All the temptation is literally right there. Okay.
Well, can I just add one more thing? Because I know we're running on, but I just find it's a really interesting conversation. I think you should define your addiction carefully as well. And about 22, I mean, I was quite fairly promiscuous at that age, I'd say. I was quite lucky, especially when you look at me. When you look at the state of me. I mean, I didn't even have a beard. Believe it or not, this beard makes me, I'd say, 20 times more appealing to women. Yeah. I'm not a traditionally handsome dude. I did all right with that whole thing. I was very lucky with my partners. I had, for the best part, I've had really positive relationships, sexual experiences with girls. And I've got to say, a lot of that's to my own credit, and it's about talking and being honest. But I once thought that I was a sex addict. Right, around, I can't remember, it was about 24, actually, 25. And I thought, yeah, I must be a sex addict. And it was listening to Sage Francis, a rapper that me and Pip loved a lot of the time. We were big into like that sort of like underground hip hop. And Sage Francis said, you're not addicted to sex, you're addicted to looking at naked pictures of women and masturbating. And I was like, actually, that is kind of the truth. Like, I was sexually active. Like, you know, that wasn't my... But the truth was, regardless of how sexually active I was, it was never breaking my addiction to porn at that age. Yeah. I was watching like ridiculous amounts of porn, and having sex with different girls did not change that fact. It's funny because I watched that movie Don Juan. Have you seen that one with Gordon Joseph Levitt? Yeah. It's brilliant. And it was a little bit like, I mean, I wasn't kind of like him in that movie, but there were some similarities.
Yeah.
I remember realising that actually I wasn't a sex addict. I was nowhere close. It was just I kind of couldn't move away from porn, which was a terribly bad thing for me as well.
Yeah, my therapist would say that porn addiction is on the spectrum of sex addiction.
Oh, okay. All right. I was a sex addict.
Yeah, well, yeah, you were a porn addict, but yeah, I think it's the same thing. We need to talk about it and take it seriously, you know. Because anyway, Stu wants us to carry on, so I'll shut up.
No,
get
not
to your number one, Jamie.
We're fast approaching the hour mark.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah, I'll be quick.
So
this last one's
number
quick.
One.
This last one's quick. Number one. Semi-related to addiction, sex for validation. So this was where my addiction stemmed from. After the years and years of counseling sessions I had, weekly counseling sessions, it basically stemmed from validation. So I'm in a band, and it was my primary job for most of my 20s, early 20s, and the validation that comes from that, you know, is obvious. Everybody knows, like, you know, musicians are all fucked in the head, and you know, and any validation they get from that is very addictive. But once it sort of started dying down a bit, validation from women was a super important thing for me, and that's what led to my addiction. That's what I've had to tackle mostly. But yeah, just general, like, lad culture and the validation we get from hooking up, I think is something that we need to talk about, because it stemmed from my dad being like, if I went out when I was like a kid, you know, I'm talking like 13, 14, if I went out to play football with my mates and I came back, you know, and he'd be like, oh, where you been all day? You been around a girl's ass? And that seed, you know, planting of like, and I'd be like, nah, I was just playing football. It's like, you know what I mean? It's that you're planting those seeds of like, you are worth something if you get with someone, you know, if you're having sex, that makes you valuable. And obviously he never meant it like that. My dad's great. But yeah, it's those kind of things. And lad culture, like you were saying earlier, you know, if you sort of say like, oh, I got shagged this bird last night, and your mate's like, whoa, it's a good feeling, right? It's a celebration. And it all feeds into itself. So yeah, that's one thing I think guys need to talk about more is, yeah, the validation we get from being, you know, seen as attractive and wanted and desired.
I think it affects what sex is to you, your relationship to it, and not in a positive way. I have, growing up, it's so funny because it all comes from this same culture. Like, I grew up and I knew, like, in my late teens and early 20s, I was having sex with girls, a lot of one-night stands, if I'm honest, and they, 20% were good.
Yeah.
And it's really weird because by about 27, I'd started putting on music events, and one of the guys I had, I put out these CDs of all up and coming bands and that, and I loved doing it. It was really, really, really exciting. And one of the guys did this song called "The Pearl of Great Price," and he was like a hypnotist slash musician, illusionist. It was incredible, right? And this song's about 8 minutes, 9 minutes long, and the whole thing is just, all the words and the phrases in it are all these repeated themes that you have in your life that actually mean fuck all to you, but you don't realise it, and you become... And one of it is, yeah, fucking shagged this bird last night, meant nothing, I weren't happy, was still bored and felt soulless after it. And I was kind of like, fucking hell, the amount of times I've had a one-night stand, and almost the most interesting part of that is going to be to talk to my mates about it because of a story. And it was never in a sort of like derogatory way of the girl, but there was plenty of validation going on there of like, oh, where, you know, what happened, you know, rah, rah, rah. And when you're sort of like, the highlight of it is probably going to be discussing it as opposed to the actual act itself, you've got a fucking strange relationship with sex. And you know, I'm not proud to say that, but again, it's kind of like this whole thing of, you know, what environment and what culture was you brought up in, and was that useful? And if it wasn't, don't just keep on defending it.
Yeah.
And it really wasn't. And actually, when I actually started to have more courage to pursue the girls that I really liked, and then get lucky enough to have a relationship with them, sex was a lot was fucking was really good.
Yeah,
I'm not saying I haven't had some epic one night stands. I really have, like, memories that I'll never forget. But a lot of it was didn't link up. It wasn't me. It didn't mean anything, and it wasn't good. And yeah, it was somewhat done for validation, I guess, as well. So yeah, I completely agree with you, James. It's an important thing to discuss.
Mm. What do you think, Stu?
I think I don't know. I've just looked up over the top of the laptop and seen a picture of me in my band fronting, you know, and clearly just by the expression on my face, I am looking for validation right there. And
let's face it, everyone who starts a band is like,
but I think there's lots of different reasons for that. I think there's lots of kind of, you know, people that didn't make their mark at school, that when they found their tribe, that's when they made their mark.
Yeah.
And I think that drive and hunger can be really fucking powerful. But then that does come with wanting validation. And I think I look at James Corden and I can see the bullied fat kid that has got prolific drive, that just wants that validation that he probably didn't get when he was a kid.
Yeah.
You know, he wants that attention. And, you know, that's a lazy example, but, you know, and I think that validation can come in, you know, not just through kind of sex, but, you know, still to this day, it's ridiculous. Like, you know, the places where I seek validation still are not necessarily just sexual, but if I do something that I'm proud of or excited about, I sometimes question myself afterwards. I just think, oh, you dick. But like, I'll put it on social media and I'm like, oh, look at that. Like, I've had some really nice comments on that.
Yeah.
And that feels nice and validates it in a pointless fucking way, but it's a hit. Yeah. And it feels good. But yeah, to be honest, I was never the guy that would have a one night stand and be like, oh, hey lads, guess what? Like, I just weren't that guy. I weren't, again, and also I weren't that lucky, you know? again, whether it be bands, DJing, promoting, podcasting, it's all, you know, got an element of...
Look at me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Completely.
Yeah.
Completely. Like, I'd be lying if I said it wasn't. And
I'm glad you haven't blurred that into sex with me for validation on the podcast. Unless that's coming up.
You play your cards right, Sunshine. I can totally, and I have met lots of people over the years that have been like, fucking hell, last night, blah, 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 blah. And morbid curiosity will always make me go like, oh, right, what happened?
Yeah, well, telling a story is fine, right? Finding out the story, that's cool. It's when you're doing it and expecting, like, you know, that's, well, like Chris was saying, and then maybe that was why you did it, or part of the reason why you did it. Because if I tell the lads, they'll, you know, they'll be into it. You know, they'll cheer me on.
But yeah, I think, I don't know. I'm not suggesting I was... You know, I'm not super bright by any fucking means, but I would definitely kind of question why I was, you know, having a one night stand if I'd done it, and certainly by the you know, that moment when you know literally the minute after, you know, you've hit that point is when you get that clarity, and then that clarity would instantly make me question every single thing and what I was doing, and I'd draw from that and would generally be like, well, I'm not going there again. Right. And I didn't mean that was it. And I didn't mean it with that person. Like, no. Fuck this.
No,
it wasn't meant like that. But like, right, look, this wasn't worth it.
No. Mate, you want to talk about luck. Yeah, you want to talk about luck. I think you're the lucky one out of the three of us there. You had that clarity and that introspection into you. You're fucking lucky. Like,
definitely.
I'm jealous of that. Definitely.
Yes, there's an emotional intelligence there, Shu.
Definitely.
If you are as fucking smart as a bath mat, you've got
emotionally, you're Einstein.
Oh, fucking hell, I've never been compared to a bath mat. I fucking love that. All right, well, look, Jamie, tell us a bit more about the podcast. Where can people hear it? How often does it come out?
You can hear it on all the normal, you know, ear listening holes, Spotify, Acast, all that stuff. It's called Let's Talk About Sex, Jamie. It's fortnightly, and it's a bunch of interesting people coming and talking about their interesting stories. And hopefully you might hear a story or two that you never would have heard otherwise, and get you thinking. That's the aim.
We'll make sure that we put when Chris uploads this episode, we put the links in the bio so
people can
go and explore your podcast and such. And if you're happy with it, then we'll take you in the socials when we put this out as well, so people can
look at me. So more people can look at me.
Yeah, like, we'll get those likes up.
Look at him for a bit, but remember who's the best one. Jamie, thanks loads, man. It's been really nice to chat to you. And it was, just an episode really where we've never really gone here before either. Right, Chris?
Really? We've not talked that much about
it. Cool. Yeah, you took me places I didn't imagine it would go. I've learned a lot, actually. This has been really good.
Yeah, I've loved this chat, Jamie. It's been a great, lovely to meet you, and you know, great podcast, and this was a real fun chat, so thanks, mate.
Nice one. Thanks, guys.
Definitely, and I think it'd be nice to kind of get you back on a Patreon episode and explore maybe one of them deeper.
Hell yeah, man. Yeah, whatever you need. Like I say, I'm a big fan. Just tell me to be on, cool. I'll be there.
Oh, sweet.
Big fan of who the most, me or Chris?
I don't know. I'll be honest, I wasn't sure which one was which.
It's a drunken soiree in the Within.
Chris and Stu present Our Core Listing, the podcast.